Thank you, Justin. 2:35 here on the Sweet Spot. We do have the hard line and why today doesn't suck. No reason to leave it or change the channel at all. We're giving you quality content all damn day. And that includes some sweet cinema. As we're going to start doing this a little bit more in 2026. I don't think we've reviewed a lot of movies on the show as a group. We talked some TV, but there's over the years we've realized there's movies that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
And it comes as a surprise. I haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies.
We'll change that.
We will change that in the coming weeks, I'm sure. And as these pop up, we will get to more classics that we all need to see at some point. And that includes This is Spinal Tap. And in the wake of Rob Reiner sadly passing away last month, we felt like this was a good time to do it because the new Spinal Tap movie is streaming on HBO Max. And over Dry Dock, Justin sent us a message that said, hey, This is Spinal Tap is now on HBO. And we thought, well, hey, let's knock this one out. And
yeah, because that's been our biggest hang-up was finding it.
Yeah, we tried like a year or so ago. Wasn't anywhere.
Right.
We had it on DVD in college, so this was one that we would just put on randomly.
Yeah.
Because it always, for me, it always gave me laughs. It's only an hour and 20. And if you're not familiar with the mockumentary, I mean, you've probably seen them before. All the Christopher Guest ones to me are the best, like Mighty Wind, Best in Show, Waiting for Guffman. And this was a Rob Reiner directed movie, but it was written by Christopher Guest. Michael McKean, formerly of Saturday Night Live, and he was Lenny of Lenny and Squiggy. And
Better Call Saul.
And then the great Harry Shearer, who, comedian, voice actor, I mean, he's been in a million things. And this was done in 1984, so this is over 40 years old. And famously, Donovan reviewed this when he was on Bad Radio and hated it. So that gives me a little pause because I worry that maybe we have some, I don't know, back-in-the-day syndrome or maybe thinking it's funnier than it actually was. But we all watched it yesterday, and I still had laughs. So without further ado, we need the official Monto review of This is Spinal Tap.
So Donovan and I are in lockstep on a lot of things.
Okay. You scared me.
We both love Little Man.
Okay.
It's on our Mount Rushmore. Soul Plane and the like. We love the NBA.
The classics.
And in one more case, we are in lockstep. But it is not Spinal Tap. Because overall, I don't even know if it would be possible for me to hold it in the same regard y'all do. Because you've been quoting it for years and years, and you've watched it 100 times. But I did enjoy it. Now, I'll be honest with you. Through the first 20 minutes or so, I was getting a little worried. Because I hadn't really laughed too much. And I was getting nervous that, okay, I haven't really got to what they were talking about. I'm supposed to be laughing a mile a minute here, but no. But eventually it did pick up, and there were some actual laugh out loud moments for me. Now, to me, the funniest two scenes won't make good radio because they're visual gags.
Yeah.
The first one was, and they're kind of the same thing, was when, was it Nigel? Is that who Christopher Guest plays?
Yes.
Nigel Tufnel.
When they're on stage, and he does like the classic rock pose of going down on his knees to play his guitar, and then he lays back to play, and he realizes he can't get up.
And the guitar tech has to pick him up.
To run out there and pick him up.
Yeah. He's struggling picking him up, and he's just dragging him around the stage.
That cracked me up. I was laughing pretty hard at that. And then, like I said, in the same vein, at their next concert or whatever, they're doing a song called like Creation or Rock Creation, and they have to escape from these pods.
The pods,
And the first two guys get out no problem, and then Harry Shearer can't get out.
The bassist known as Derek Smalls.
Yes.
And then the tech is just
tech
like
again.
Whacking it with a hammer.
So they're all playing, and their bass, they have no bass line really, except him trying in there. And again, doesn't really sound great on radio, but that was, I thought, insanely funny.
So what did you make of David St. Hubbins, their lead singer, played by Michael McKean? It feels like, and like you said, the first 20 minutes are a little dry because I think that's where the end around happens. Mm-hmm. They make you think this is actually a documentary. Yeah. In fact, people back in the day were telling Rob Reiner, like, hey, you know, you could have picked a cooler band.
And he's like, well, it's not really a real band. It's a mockumentary.
But to their credit, they learned these songs, wrote them all, and performed them, like, on their actual concert tour. So, kind of cool.
Yeah. So, some notes I had with the news of Rob Reiner. Yeah, immediately right out the gate, that's the first person you see, and he's talking, setting it up, and you're kind of like, damn, okay, he... I didn't realize he was a big part of this thing, because I really had no idea what this was about outside of you guys telling me it was a mockumentary about a rock band. But you're right, there, it also was just kind of confusing, because I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know, like, was this supposed to be a popular band or something? One thing that I missed, and I went and looked it up, do they show that the original album cover that they wanted in the movie, and I just missed it?
No, they only, and that was Fran Drescher, who was in the movie. That,
by the way,
I wrote that down.
1984 Fran Drescher.
Literally
nothing
smoking.
Wrong.
Son of a bitch.
Nothing wrong with that.
Looks like she smells like cigarettes, but whatever.
Fine.
But that was pretty funny. So then I went to look it up, and there are like actual covers now of what that would have been like,
I've
funny.
Seen those before. They're pretty good.
And then the second gag of the album cover that they approved being like an obsidian black that's just so dark.
How much more black could it be? None.
Was really
None
funny.
More black.
And they're like, actually, it looks like a mirror. You can see your own reflection. They're trying to justify. Like, oh, this is actually cool. I'm curious, what did you make of their manager?
Ian
Faith, played by Tony Hendra. I thought he was a very underrated part of that whole thing.
Yeah, no, I thought he was great. I thought that them introducing Michael McKean's girlfriend as like a Yoko person was pretty funny, and she ends up taking over the band and then booking them puppet shows and zoos and stuff. I thought that was pretty funny. I'll be honest, you referenced the music. I thought the music was kind of the best part. Like, it was actually good.
Yeah.
Like, it was funny, too. Like, I'll play here the first funny song, and I'm guessing this is, like, the biggest song to come out of it, the Big Bottom one,
yes.
If you want to pull me up here, Ham. You got Harry Shearer with the double neck bass. Yeah, like I said, the songs are pretty funny. I think the first one you really hear is Gimme Some Money.
Oh, yeah. Because they started
good.
Out
From the
as
60s.
A skiffle band, and they turned into like a Brit pop wave band. I just like how they like showed their maturation into what they are now as like glam rockers.
As all their drummers die of mysterious circumstances.
Yep.
One choked on vomit. Wasn't his vomit. You can't really dust for vomit.
I think one died in a gardening accident.
Yes.
We'll just leave that unsolved.
One of them just died on the drum set, and he just became like a little green stain on his chair or whatever.
Spontaneously combusted. They had multiple that spontaneously combusted.
Then a dozen people happen a year.
Another song that I thought was funny, and it was a good bit too, the tiny Stonehenge that they had made. And then I thought, again, the song was good for a movie song. A Stonehenge.
Children dance to the pipes of time.
Like I said, I like the music. I mean, for what it is.
It sounds like Blue Oyster Cult, yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
So the Stonehenge scene, in my opinion, is the funniest scene in any movie. Yeah. Because the way Nigel sets it up when he's saying, okay, we need an 18, and he meant to put 18-foot Stonehenge, yeah, but he writes inches. And then they show the 18-inch one. They get into the song. You think it's passed. And then you see this tiny Stonehenge
gets lowered
and these little people start dancing around it.
Yeah, like little munchkins.
And David St. Hubbins is looking at it like, what the F?
And that's kind of the main, you know, crux of the movie, because that's where they break apart, yeah, at the end because,
yeah,
of this.
That was the tipping point where Nigel just was fed up with everything.
I'm watching it now and lowering the Stonehenge and they're all shaken by it. So the funniest thing that I wanted to play, I thought, was, you know, as they're doing the mockumentary, Rob Reiner is talking to Nigel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there just playing something on his piano.
Oh, yeah.
And at first you're kind of like, okay, wow, he actually is just playing a really good song. And then you get the ultimate comedic payoff at the end.
It's pretty.
I like it. Just been fooling about with it for a few months now. Very delicate.
It's a bit of a departure from the kind of thing you normally play.
Yeah, well, it's part of a trilogy, really, a musical trilogy that I'm doing in D minor, which I always find is really the saddest of all keys, really. I don't know why, but it makes people weep instantly to play that. It's a horn part.
It's very pretty.
Yeah, just simple lines intertwining. You know, very much like I'm really influenced by Mozart and Bach, and it's sort of in between those. It's really, it's like a Mach piece, really.
What do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.
Brilliant.
I think Nigel's the funniest of the three. And they all have funny moments, but he's wearing the skeleton t-shirt, and he's, yeah, like, yeah, actually, this is exactly what it looks like under my skin, and it's like a green skeleton.
And just the subtle lines throughout the movie that, you know, if you're not paying attention, you might miss, and they don't pause for laughter.
Yeah.
Just like when they're in the hotel, and they're talking to another band, he's like, oh, we'd stay in love to chat, but we have to go out in the lobby and wait for the limo.
Yeah, he's talking to Duke, yeah, whatever the guy's name was.
Also like how they're in Memphis, so they pay homage to the king, Elvis Presley, yeah, and go to his graveside. And they all start trying to, like, harmonize Jailhouse Rock, and they just can't get it right.
And they don't want to curse in front of the king.
Right, and David St. Hubbins like, oh, it's too much effing perspective. Which is something I say all the, yeah, time.
The Boston show got canceled. It's okay. It's not a big college town.
A couple other things. Did y'all know Dana Carvey and Billy Crystal were in this?
I did.
I saw that in the credits at the end, and I was like, wait, who were they? And then you find out they were the mimes, which I thought that was kind of a funny gag at the beginning.
The launch party, yeah, in New York City.
And their waiters are mimes. Like, how annoying would that be? But so today, Ham and I have been in here during breaks watching, you know, different videos that have stemmed from this, like the, what was the name of that concert where they had all the musicians on stage?
I think
stage?
It was Live Earth.
Live Earth in the 2000s, where they brought Spinal Tap back on stage, and then all the bands that were there. So, like, Metallica comes out.
Hell yeah.
I forget some of the other bands that were there as a part of it, but they're all out there to play Big Bottom, and they're all just hitting the bass.
That's awesome.
And then playing in front of a crowd of, like, 100,000 people.
So
and
there's,
you got,
like, 50 people out there.
So you got Robert Trujillo and Kirk Hammett, and they're all just playing Big Bottom. And then as they're promoting the new one, which we'll have to watch and review at some point, I guess, but they played Big Bottom on Jimmy Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And, boy, they look old.
Was that the time where every single one of them was playing a bass and they had a special guest bass player?
Like
they did some late night show where they were all playing the bass.
Funny.
They did have a, yes, and because they had, like, Thundercat play. They had a different person, I forget her name, But they're out there, and like, you know, Harry Shearer has to sit in a chair because he's in his 80s,
yeah.
And he can't do it anymore. And yeah, I mean, Michael McKean and Christopher Guest look a lot older, so I'm very curious what this new one's about.
The new one's on HBO. I only saw a minute of it the other day. I want to sit and like give my full attention to it at one point, but Paul McCartney's in it for a bit.
Okay.
And that scene I saw was actually pretty funny, so it gives me some hope that this one might give me some laughs.
I'm going to have to watch it.
So, overall, not my favorite movie of all time, but I did enjoy it. I would give it 2.5 stumps up.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll take that.
Appreciated the humor. Thank you, Justin. There's some sweet cinema.